the station that is celebrating 25 years of broadcasting.
Every Thursday on the Motor Live Drive at 5, we bring you the best music in Detroit, live and unadulterated. Rock, blues, jazz, soul, indie pop, singer-songwriters, all with a uniquely Detroit attitude. That's Thursday at 5 o'clock, or check out myspace.com/MotorLiveDrive/blog for a list of all our podcasts and link to those shows. Motor, we're live every week.
Hello, everyone. My name's Tammy. I'm a staff member here at WHFR-FM Dearborn, and I would like to wish all of you a happy, happy, and a merry, merry for this beautiful holiday season.
This is Omni 646 of the Rhythmic Ride and 89.3, the only station making waves, wishing you and yours a happy and safe holiday season.
I really can't stay, baby, it's cold outside, but it's never too cold to listen to WHFR. So do that this holiday season. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from Mrs. Robinson.
Hi, this is Pat Frisco from the Spirits Rejoice radio program with another thought to consider. The creative artist has always worked outside the box. The truly creative artist has a unique perspective, a unique voice. Their works of art go beyond what a painting is supposed to look like, or a jazz or classical piece is supposed to sound like. As a result, these artists are often overlooked, underpaid, or totally neglected. Just look across the radio dial. But these artists always have a home at WHFR. You can tune into Spirits Rejoice Tuesdays from 6 to 10 p.m. or many of our other fine radio programs here at 89.3 WHFR Dearborn.
Expressed on the following show are not necessarily those of this radio station or Henry Ford Community College. Dearborn, and you're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. My name is Mike Holloway. My special guest today is Marie Gates. She's a writer, speaker, and expert on reincarnation. Good afternoon, Marie. Thank you for being on the show.
Good afternoon to you.
Okay. Now, just out of curiosity, you're an expert on reincarnation. What prompted you to get interested in reincarnation?
I had a very strange dream one night. I was in a different world, and this was such a perfect world where there was no conflict, and there was just peace. And I really wanted to stay in this world, but my husband woke me up. I got angry with him because I wanted to remain in a peaceful state like this. Well, at the time, I was an instructor at the University of Alabama, and I had a student who wanted me to pursue hypnotic regressions into past lives. And at first I was hesitant, but I said, I'd think about it. Well, when I thought about that strange dream, I thought, maybe that was a past life. Maybe I was in a different world. And so I said, yes. And I went to the hypnotist. He uncovered five lives for me. And one was as a woman in New Haven, Connecticut in the 1940s. And she had had an abusive husband. And so she ran away with another man. And I thought, gee, this is strange, strange, strange story. But I gave her name. I gave her city, of course, was New Haven, Connecticut. And they lived there in the 40s. And so when we returned to Michigan, which is my native state, we had been living in Alabama for about 4 years, my husband said, why don't you go and investigate? See if you can find this past life. So I thought, yeah, you know, that would be interesting. So I went there. One of the first things I did was go to the library and look up the records that they had for people who had lived in the city directories. And I said a prayer before I opened the book. At the time, I wasn't agnostic. I didn't know what to believe. And so I thought, well, maybe there is a God, and if there is, I pray I'll find my past life. Excuse me. So sure enough, when I opened that city directory, there was my husband's name in that past life, and my name, and the street where we had lived. So the next day, I took a bus out to the address, and I was surprised to find that it was a liquor store. Now, this was an old part of New Haven, Connecticut, where the buildings were close together, and the store was on the lower level of this building. But I understood from talking to the proprietor that there had been, or maybe there still were, apartments above and behind the store. Well, I asked the proprietor of the store if he knew the landlord from the 1940s. And he said, I'm buying the building from him. And he gave me the man's name and phone number. So I went back to the hotel, and I dialed up the old landlord. And he knew the name, the married name, of the daughter who had grown up there. Did not have her phone number, so I went back to looking in the phone book, and I found several people by that name, and called about three people until I finally got a hold of Amanda Randall, who was my past life daughter, and started talking about her mother and how she'd had a really rough life in the Depression. She had had to support the family by working at the AMP, but this was not as a clerk, it was as a stenographer. And she'd worked very hard all her life, and the husband had been unemployed because it was during the Depression. Well, she said her mother had retired from her work at the AMP. She wasn't very well. She had an ulcer. And I asked Amanda how her mother had died, and she said, well, after World War II, her brother was coming home, and the mother was a meticulous housekeeper, and so she worked really hard to get the apartment in order for him to come. She worked so hard, in fact, that it upset her ulcer. She had a bleeding ulcer and had to go to the hospital. And the father insisted that she go to St. Raphael's, which is a Catholic hospital, because that was his background. And when she said Catholic hospital, it rang a bell. I, from the beginning of my life, when I was a toddler who could barely speak, had recalled my life ending in a Catholic hospital because there were the nuns in the background with their habits in those days. And my daughter was with me. And so I asked her, "Were you with your mother when she died?" And she said, "Yes, I held her hand." And I still remember that. I still have that image in my mind of my daughter beside my bed holding my hand. And I can remember her in her lawn wool coat and scarf, and that's what they would have been wearing in New Haven in February. That's when she died. Now, I was born 3 months almost to the day after she died. And I think that's why I remember that life, because it's so close. The other reason I think I remember it is because it was a premature death. And from my studies of reincarnation, if a death is either violent or premature, it's more likely to be remembered. And a person, if they remember anything about a past life, it's usually the death scene. So here it was. I could no longer deny the existence of God or of past lives, because there it was, right in front of me. There was the proof that I had been Amanda Randall in the past life, and that I could no longer deny that there was anything after death. So that's how I got started on it. I studied a great deal, did a lot of reading on it, and wrote my first book, Shadows on My Mind, A Psychologist Explores Reincarnation and PSI, Psychic Phenomena. And of course, the story of Amanda Randall is central to the book, the first book. The second book I wrote involves many past lives that I got from spiritual healers who are in contact with what they call the Akashic Records, or what some Christians know as the Book of Life, which records everything that anybody has ever said or done or even thought or felt. And so they get in contact with these records, and they're able to tell their clients what their past lives were all about and heal them. And I was healed of my depression that I brought in from several past lives, including the one of Amanda Randall. I no longer have to take St. John's wort. I used to take, I started off on a medication similar to Prozac. Didn't agree with me. I went right off that. And then I was on St. John's wort for years. Now I don't have to take any more St. John's wort. So not only did I find my past lives, I also was healed by these spiritual healers. In my book, Are We Our Past Lives, I have talked about the healers. They're HVT, Harmonic Vibrational Therapy, it's called. And I go through all my different past lives that were revealed to me by these therapists in my book, Are We Our Past Lives, Soul Patterns and Personalities and Relationships.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting that you actually had verification that you were somebody in a past life. You know, it just wasn't something that came to you. You could actually go back and look it up. And when you did that, were you surprised, frightened? How did you feel?
I was somewhat surprised when I found the name of my husband from the past life and my past life name in the city directories. I mean, it was amazing. As I said, I didn't know what to believe. I was an agnostic. I really didn't know whether this existed before. Mm-hmm. But of course, when I did get to talk to the past life daughter, whose name is also Amanda, they were both named Amanda, then it verified it for me because of the connection with my memory, my past life memory.
Mm-hmm. Did you actually get to meet Amanda?
Yes, I did. And I had stayed the weekend with her. I spent a weekend with her at one time. And we were very compatible. We got mm-hmm. along very well. Had a lot in common. I had the teaching background, and she was a teacher's aide for a long time. She's an avid reader. Believe it or not, she even has a Kindle, and the woman has just turned 91.
Wow.
And so we did have a lot in common. We were harmonious, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Just briefly, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Marie Gates. She is a writer, speaker, and expert on reincarnation. Now, when you went to visit this Amanda, did you experience deja vu at all?
No, I didn't. But I did experience an outpouring of love for her. Like mm-hmm. I had a real connection on that level. But no, I didn't sense that she was familiar to me. But when you think about it, I was 53 when I died in that past life. That's why I say it's a premature death. And the daughter was going to get married later that year, and I was anticipating grandchildren. And of course, she was only in her 20s. She would have looked much different when I met her. She was in her 80s. Mm-hmm. And so somebody who was in her 80s is going to look much different than somebody in her 20s.
Right.
But it was the essence of her, her personality that I resonated with, that I could feel the outpouring of love with mm-hmm. that.
Yes, well, that's quite amazing that you were actually able to do that in the flesh. Most often people go back, they get hypnotized, and they regress, and they just have visions, you know, about former lives, but it was nice that you could actually go back and touch on that life in the physical.
Yes, it is, and I think it is fairly unusual. Mm-hmm. That a lot of people will experience deja vu. They will have their dreams. They may even have visions of past lives, but it's difficult to really pin them down and to find out if they exist in reality through historical records or something of that sort. But some people are able to do that. Mm-hmm. In addition to me, I'm not the only one that was able to do that. There was a woman in England who was able to find her past life children. And there was a show on TV, a TV movie based on it, Yesterday's Children, I believe it was called. And she had met, I think, all but one of her past life children. There were like eight of them. I think one had died. And she had come into this life with the feeling that she was missing these children. What had happened was, her name was Mary Sutton, and she lived in Ireland in the 1800s and early 1900s, and she died just shortly after childbirth and left her children. And so the woman came, Jenny Cockle is her name. Jenny came into this life yearning for these other children. And she had all kinds of evidence in her mind, like memories of the village where she lived, where the church was, and all kinds of things. But she did some research, and she was able to find this place, this town in Ireland where she lived, and was able to meet the children. Now, some of them believe her. They think that they were her children in the past life, and others don't. So it all depends on the viewpoint, the experiences, I think, of the person as to whether they're going to accept this or not. But there are other people who have found these lives, but it is uncommon to be able to verify them.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you went back to explore your life as Amanda, did you find that it was therapeutic to do so?
My life as Amanda, was it therapeutic?
When you went back.
That is a good question. I really don't consider it therapeutic in the usual sense. Like if I was having psychological problems, the depression did come in from her life as well as other lives. I think she was depressed because she had had to work so hard to support the family, And she really didn't have a religious or a spiritual family, you might say. You know, when you go to church, you might think of your church members as a spiritual family. Mm-hmm. She was like me. I'm not sure if she was definitely agnostic, but I think she did believe in God. But she really had this depression, I think, maybe for a variety of reasons, and I did bring in that. So in that respect, it helped me understand it better.
Mm-hmm. Now, you found that throughout your study of this particular subject, you find that many times you reincarnate with many of the same souls you came
certainly.
Upon
I found
in
this
past lives.
Was very much the case that when I talk about the lives and our past lives, every single one of my brothers and sisters, my parents, even some of my in-laws were in past lives.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one that is especially relevant because he is one of my husband's relatives. And one of the lives I describe in our past lives, I was a young boy who ran away from home. This was in the 1800s during the gold rush. He eventually wound up in California. He wanted to make a fortune and be able to sail, be able to travel. Well, he got mixed up with the wrong partners in this life.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was my husband's relative. They had him dig the gold, but they didn't take it to the bank. They hid it in a cave instead. Well, this young boy was working around mining the gold, and it was near a stream in a degraded area. And he found that they had hidden the gold in a small cave rather than take it to the bank. And then he knew they weren't going to share with him. So he went into a rage. Well, the partners heard him raging, and so they came to find out what was going on, and then he was yelling at them. Well, they restrained him. They tied him up in the cave and took the gold. Well, he was in such a rage, his name was Tim, by the way, that he just kept digging and digging in this degraded area by the stream that was full of mud. And he wound up smothering in the mud.
That's not good.
No. Well, when I came into this life, I think I needed to resolve this anger. Because when you are angry at death, you don't have time, of course, to resolve it in the current life that you're dying in. So you bring it into the next life or into a future life for healing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so my husband's relative is in this life with me, of course. He had kind of a checkered life where he was accused of fraud, many failed marriages, not very stable, in other words, which you might expect for what he did in the past life. If he wasn't downright a criminal, I mean, he had, you know, issues, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so this man had trouble with his esophagus. It was eroded so badly that he had to go to the Mayo Clinic and have his stomach made into his esophagus. And after that, he had a lot of trouble keeping food down and also breathing. So one day, when I was working on that very chapter on Tim and the gold mine and the dishonest partners, I got a phone call from this man. And guess what he said to me? This is really amazing.
What was that?
Because his doctor had just given him some minor surgery on his esophagus so that he could breathe again freely, he said to me, "Don't ever die of suffocation. gasping for breath is horrible. Well, that was his karma. Mm-hmm. What he had done to the boy was the very same thing. Tied him up in the cave and he suffocated.
So what goes around comes around.
That's right. That's karma. Mm-hmm. And it was also synchronicity that he called me at the same time that I was working on that very chapter of the book. Well, this man was only given a 4-year lifespan by the Mayo Clinic when they did the surgery. He's still alive, and it's almost 5 years. So I think there was some healing going on there, too, when he had to come up against the karma. But the person who was the one that was killed, was hurt, was actually still speaking to him, although she knew what had happened, and forgave him. I think forgiveness is a very powerful thing. And here this man was on the verge of death with this esophagus that wasn't working. It could hardly breathe, could hardly eat or keep anything down. Now he seems to be the picture of health. Hmm. The last time I saw him, he looked great.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever relate to him the story that you have related to us about that past life connection at all?
I think he got it. He's never said it. But he read my book, and he gave me a good review on Amazon.
Well, that's good then. It all worked out, huh?
It did.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you talk in your book about soul contracts. What are those, and who do you make those contracts with?
Before you come into a life, you make contracts with those people who are going to be with you. Like they will be your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your child, your husband, your coworker, somebody that will be working on a project with you, anybody that will be close to you, you make these agreements with. And you might come into a life, let's say, with a parent that you need to resolve something with. And that parent might agree even to mistreat you. And that is for your spiritual welfare. In fact, as far as I have read, there might be people actually coming into a life that will beg the person that will be their mother or father to mistreat them in order for them to learn a lesson. It might be somebody, as in the case of one book I read, that was going to be a homosexual. And that's mm-hmm. a rough life. And so he asked his father, the man or the spirit that was going to be his father, to mistreat him, to toughen him up in order to be able to handle life as a homosexual. So we do make these contracts. We make contracts to work out the karma with these people that we've had in the past life. Like my son and I have been in every single past life I've been able to uncover with this HVT. At one time, he was my stepfather in the French Revolution in France. And we were all killed at the guillotine because he was a duke and I was his stepdaughter. Now, he resented me because he would have to pay a huge dowry when I got married. So this resentment, I'm sure, and also the anger from being killed, came in. And my son came in as a very angry soul. From the time he was an infant, he was a screamer, according to the nurses in the hospital, and had colic, had a lot of difficulty, was throwing toys at me when he was 18 months old. And this continued, and so we had him diagnosed. He had ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which very often people with that will be angry, and that has to be handled. He's been with psychologists and psychiatrists, is still on medication. He is a college graduate, but he's looking for a job now, but he's still on medication. And we worked out some of this anger and resentment, I think, in this current life. We're at peace. We love each other, and we just deal with whatever we have to deal with. But I think we came into a life to resolve a lot of his anger that he had toward me and other things as well, not just me. Mm-hmm. So, and then my husband came into this life with him, with our son. I call him Colin in the book. We had been living as people in Russia during the Crimean War. And my husband and son there had been killed in the Crimean War. And I was trying to find them. So I became one of the first nurses, like Florence Nightingale, only on the Russian side. And I died of dysentery. So we all died prematurely in this life. We didn't have a chance to work out our karma. So here we are, the same three people. We only have one child in this life, and we only had that one child, who is Colin, in the other life as well. And so I was told by the spiritual healer that I came into life with them, into this life, to improve my self-esteem. And I'm thinking, yes, here I was, this housewife in the Crimean War, and women didn't have a very high status in those days, and probably didn't have a high sense of self-esteem. So I come in there, and they're supposed to support me, and my husband has. He's been remarkable. As I said before, he was the one that encouraged me to go look up the past life of Amanda Randall, and he provided the finances. He's been very supportive of me in my whole endeavor with these books. He's even gone with me on some of my trips when I've spoken. And Colin, too, has been supportive. He believes in me, although he doesn't believe in reincarnation. Mm-hmm. I haven't convinced him of that yet.
Well, there's still plenty of time, right?
Right. He's still young.
Right. And briefly, I just want to remind everybody once again that this is WHFR.FM, the station that is making waves. The name of this program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Marie Gates. She's a writer, speaker, and expert on reincarnation. Now, you say that you usually come back with many of the same souls you've been with in past lives.
Yes.
What happens between those past lives? Is there a certain place you go, or how does that work out, and how do you work out knowing what you need to learn in each lifetime?
Well, you will get help learning what you need to learn. When you get to the other side, a lot of people would probably call it heaven, but spiritualists would say the other side, you would review your life. It's not that you are going to be harshly judged. In fact, you judge yourself. You go through all your life, what things you did that might have been good and other things that weren't so good, and evaluate it. Decide maybe what you need to work on. You will get help from other spirits, advanced spirits on the other side, that will help you decide where to incarnate, with whom to incarnate, like your parents, brothers, sisters, spouse, and all of the people that will be involved with you, what occupation you would pursue, just about everything, what kind of person you're going to be, your appearance. Are you going to be tall or short? Are you going to have red hair or blonde hair? Are you going to be African American or white or Asian or whatever? Everything you decide on to try to resolve your karma. That's the name of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So you will get help. You will be able to go to what they call school on the other side to learn things. You would be able to help other people that are on Earth in some cases, coming to them maybe in dreams, for example, or inspiration. All kinds of different ways are available to help others in this life, on this side of the veil or whatever you might want to call it. So there are different activities that souls are involved in on the other side besides planning their future lives.
Mm-hmm. And everybody has to go through certain things in order to evolve It might be as different sexes, different parts of the world, different social statuses, many different things, but it's all to learn lessons to help that soul grow, correct?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And what does that do to help a person? I mean, okay, one time you're a male, the next time you're a female, you know, again, different parts of the world. How does that all coincide to help a soul grow?
Okay, what we are looking for is balance in every respect. So we become a male in some lives and a female in other lives in order to learn how it is to be a man or how it is to be a woman, and that will balance us. The same with the different races, the different parts of the world, the different roles like mother, father, daughter, son, you know, all the different roles that we take on in life, that we learn from these in order to balance ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So also you said that there are certain things that people have to go through in order to grow, and that they are aware that perhaps during a certain lifetime they will have to suffer some type of physical injury, something like that. They might have a disability in order to grow. So they know before coming in that they might be crippled, they might be perhaps suffering from Down syndrome, something like that, but they're okay with that and the fact that they know that this is what they need to experience in order to grow.
That's right. And they might think, okay, so I'm going to be affected by Down syndrome, but how long is this life going to last? In the past, some of these Down syndrome people only lived to be 25 years old. I understand they're living longer now. But whatever it is, in comparison to the total picture, to eternity, you might say, maybe 60 or 70 years isn't that much to go through. On the other side, you might think that, but when you're here living through it, I think it is more difficult than you might have realized. But you do... the souls do agree to do this in order to advance themselves.
Mm-hmm. So if you do end up, say, a quadriplegic, that's something that you ask for in this lifetime. There isn't an accident, per se. You know it going in that this is what's going to happen.
Well,
to you.
Well, you're not sure. Nothing is for sure on Earth. A lot of things depend upon what other people do. Now, you might have what they call an exit point, where you could either live or die. You're going to have an accident or you're going to be ill. You might either live or die. And I think my husband went through this just recently when he had an appendicitis. And I kept saying when he was having pain in his stomach, do you want me to take you to the hospital? Oh, no, no, no. He was just lying down. Well, he finally decided he had appendicitis. He remembered what his mother had told him. If you ever have an ache in this, I think it's the lower left side of the abdomen, you probably have appendicitis. So he finally said, well, yeah, I want to go to the hospital. So we took him, you know. And I think he had to make that decision whether he was going to live or die. Well, when the doctor did the surgery, he said, boy, in 3 hours, you would have been gone, mm-hmm. you know, if we hadn't gotten in there and had him taken care of us. So that was an exit point. He could either lived or died. I think the same thing is true with another type of exit point that might be an accident, let's say a motorcycle accident. And there is going to be an accident, but is the person going to be severely injured, or is he going to walk away with a few scratches?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my son had a dream in which he was killed on a bicycle, and he even had the age that he was going to die was 14. Well, as he approached his 14th birthday, I was terrified. I hid his bicycle in the basement. I didn't even want him to have a bicycle. Well, he turned, I think it was 16 or 17, and he didn't have an accident between 14 and 16 or 17, but then he had an accident. But this time he just had flesh wounds. He could have been killed. That could have been an exit point where he decided he wanted to live. The same thing with the paraplegic. I mean, he decided he was going to live in a severe auto accident, but he winds up really crippled. But that was his choice, that he wanted to live rather than die.
Mm-hmm.
And so he winds up as a paraplegic. but he was going to have the accident, but the result might depend on him or it might depend on somebody else. I mean, maybe the driver of the car that hit the man that becomes a paraplegic just did something the last minute that would avoid a more severe accident in which the man would have been killed. Mm-hmm. So it depends on other people, too, sometimes.
Right. Well, I've heard of that where people, they make that conscious decision they don't want to cross over because of the fact that perhaps they have children that they want to raise, but they know that, just like you're saying, they're going to go through some suffering and some great pain, but it's worth it to them because they do make that conscious decision that they want to stay. And they've been in contact with their higher guides, perhaps when they're in a coma or whatever, and they discuss it and they make that decision. Have you heard of that happening before?
Oh, I think so. I think that does happen. Mm-hmm. That they are in a comatose state, but they're actually having contact with the spirits on the other side. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that can happen. Mm-hmm. I think they can actually go out of body when they're in a coma, and they might be in a different state and where they would have different experiences and perhaps encounter other spirits.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about a child that is stillborn? I mean, is that where a situation, the soul doesn't even enter the body? I mean, when is that decided that a soul will enter a body? And if there is no soul that comes to that body, I mean, is that result obviously in a stillborn baby?
I think that there is always a soul that's going to be attached to a body. I just don't think it's going to happen that there's no soul at all. But what might happen with the case of a stillborn is maybe the entity, the spirit, is trying to teach the parents a lesson. Mm-hmm. And so the baby will be born dead after they went through the pregnancy and all the anticipation of having a baby. And there's some kind of lesson that they needed to learn. And it would be hard to say exactly what it was, but that may be why. As far as the soul coming in, it depends on who you read about this. But according to Edgar Casey, I'm a member of the Edgar Casey Society, by the way, it would be the soul could come and go within in the fetus, but it would permanently be in there maybe just a month or two before birth, mm-hmm. and stay in that body. But as far as it being there constantly from conception on, most spiritualists would say no, because what purpose is there for the soul to remain in there if it, the body isn't developed enough for it to even be able to sense anything?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, does the fetus know or sense that they're coming into a certain situation where they aren't going to be loved, something like that, where they know that, again, once they're actually into the world, do they have some kind of amnesia where it's a fresh start? They don't know it, but perhaps just before birth, they know what the situation is going to be?
Well, they would know the situation, but I think probably just before birth, they wouldn't have the knowledge that they had on the other side, because when we come into life, we don't automatically remember what happened before life. Past lives are just what happened between past lives. Most of the time we don't remember it. We have to have a hypnotist to get it out, you know. Mm-hmm. And there is one, Michael Newton, who's done a lot of research with people expressing what happened in the between life state. Mm-hmm. And so he's done a lot of work with that. But I think once the soul comes into probably the body just before birth, that they wouldn't recall anything that was happening on the other side or their past lives. It must be just, an immediate thing. I would think that when they're going in and out of the body, they would have the consciousness of what was going on. They would be aware of why they're coming in to a life and how this life is going to be, who their parents are going to be, what their challenges are going to be, just a lot of details of this life. But then, of course, nobody can predict everything. So you come into life with maybe a plan, but it might not always come out the way you think it would, because there are accidents, and what other people do have a bearing on you and your life.
Mm-hmm. We also have such a thing as free will, though.
Even though we're
predetermined, supposedly, to do something, we can always change our mind, do something different, and, of course, a different outcome will result.
Mm-hmm. We always have free will, because there's no point to life if you don't have your choices to make. You can't just be a little automaton, a little robot, and just do what maybe you plan to do in life. It just doesn't work out that way. If you didn't have any choice, there really wouldn't be any point to try to come in, because how could you work out your karma if you just have to do certain things?
Right. Well, again, it just depends on the situation.
Yeah, it all depends on the situation, too. Mm-hmm. And if we didn't have our free will, it would be a whole different world.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people wonder why God permits things to happen, like war. Well, it's because people have their free will. And
right.
He's not going to step in and just say, you can't have this war, I'm going to stop it. Because then people wouldn't learn.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I've heard. Once he starts things in motion, they have to happen, and whatever the outcome is just that.
Yeah, the outcome it may depend on a lot of different factors, but a lot of times people can come in and avert the most negative effects if they are able to do it, or they choose to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think something that's very interesting in your current lifetime is you mentioned in the book that you met your husband through a computer dating service,
yes,
was it?
Yes, I did.
I think that's interesting that modern technology takes over, whereas in the past, well, you just meet somebody. If you fall in love, you get married, or if it's an arranged marriage, whatever the case may be. But here you are, you were meant to end up together, and I just think it's interesting that in essence, you depended on a computer to do so.
Yeah, that's how it happened. I don't know what might have happened. We probably would have met in some other way. Maybe we would have just had a chance meeting. Maybe we would have been going to the grocery store. For all you know, some people do meet in the grocery store. Or you're at some kind of an event, some kind of conference. Although I don't know what it would have been. He's in math and I'm in psychology, so I don't know. But it could have been a festival of some type that we went to and just bumped into each other. Or who knows, maybe there would be somebody that we would have both known and they would have introduced us. But I don't think there would have been, because he was from a different state and he came to Michigan to work at Chrysler. And we didn't have any connections with family or friends. So, yeah, that was a good way to meet, through the computer.
Yeah, I just
thought
it was interesting.
Otherwise, it would have been through chance, I think.
Right. Well, that's just it. There you go. Chance. It may not have happened at all.
Well, possibly. But if we planned on marrying on the other side, we would have found a way.
Really?
Somehow it would have happened.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know, I guess. You know, I'm sure you love your husband, obviously.
Yeah, and it worked out.
Mm-hmm. One thing I'd like to know is currently there are more than 7 billion people in the world. And, of course, once civilization started, there was only so many people in the world, and it's grown year after year after year. What I want to know is, where do all the souls come from to inhabit 7 billion bodies?
That is a very interesting question, and one other host asked me that, and I thought about it. And one explanation is that new souls are being created.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is that some souls, and I know mine is one, are inhabiting more than one body at the same time. I was told by Deanne, who is, of course, the founder of HVT, which I talk about in our We Are Past Lives, said that I'm a split soul. I have two other incarnations in Canada. One of them is in the west of Canada, and one is near Niagara Falls. They're both women. They're both younger than me. I have a partial name for one of them. I was given by one of the other HVT therapists who gets names better than the other ones do. I don't know whether I want to investigate that or not. I might be opening up a can of worms.
I might be shocked.
Here I am, part of your your soul. We're part of the same soul. The least they could think was, oh, maybe she's nutty.
Right. Well, you never know. They might be worse off than you are. You never know what the case might be.
What I would like to know, if I ever did meet one of them, would be with the spiritual work I did with the HVT, and I was able to get rid of the depression. Are they feeling better? Is she feeling better in the last few years than she had maybe 20 years ago? I would like to know that, but I'm not sure if I want to pursue it or not. But that is what happens in some cases, that some people do have a split soul or a fractured soul, or some people would call it parallel lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there such a thing as parallel lives or a parallel universe, anything like that?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
We don't know for sure, but I think so. Oh, I think they're definitely the parallel lives like I'm having right now with the two women in Canada. These could be considered parallel lives. I had another host, Paul Eno, who interviewed me last month. He was of a little different opinion than some people regarding reincarnation. He thought that it was all that we are in, that time really doesn't exist, and everything happens at the same time. And so these past lives that we consider past lives are really going on all at the same time, even though they are in different historical periods. That's what he thinks. But philosophers have thought that for a long time, that the world is an illusion. There's no such thing as time. Everything is going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So that is interesting. And yes, I entertain that idea.
Right. Well, I know that some scientists have studied physics, and some of them believe there might be that opening, that opportunity for different universes to be existing and going on at the same time. And I think that's very interesting that they've even suggested that that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. Now, when you reincarnate, and I know you've mentioned this in your book, and again, it gets back to the fragmented souls, you've said during some of your past lives that they've overlapped.
Oh, definitely. They have overlapped. I was talking about Tim, who was the boy that died in the cave by suffocation. At the same time, there was another life going on as Jacob Gruber. He was a circuit riding Methodist minister in the 1800s. He lived between 1778 and 1850. And of course, Tim, I think, died in the gold rush just before Reverend Gruber died in 1850. So there was an overlap in those two lives. Now, Reverend Gruber was a very well-known preacher. He spoke out against slavery and got into real trouble with the state of Maryland because he was speaking against it in front of slaves and their owners. Maryland, of course, was a slave state.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was prosecuted, but he was exonerated. And there's a book written about him, The Life of Jacob Gruber. And I got the book and read all about him. And he had a very interesting life where he was a circuit rider, and he really enjoyed that. But then he was stationed, and he was a Methodist, of course, in the Methodist Church in Baltimore, and he hated it because he was at everybody's beck and call, and he liked his freedom, I think. He liked being the circuit rider. And so he requested a transfer, which he got. Well, I decided I was going to go to the church where he had been a pastor. I went in there. He's also a writer. That's something similar. Some of these characteristics will come in from different lives, and I'm a writer. And also I'm passionate, and I like to speak, and so did he. He liked to preach. And, well, he hated that assignment. He didn't like that church. I came in there. There was a museum in there where they had his works. You know, he had written for a Christian newspaper. Mm-hmm. I was reading his works, and all of a sudden I got really sick. My head was spinning. I was sweating. I had to go outside. When I came in, I was still sick. I just couldn't finish reading these articles he'd written. I think it was because of the negative energy was still left there because he didn't like the place. And I'm sure other people were in conflict with him, too. It might not have just been him. And I think that's why I got sick. And that's what one of the reasons why I really believe I was him. The other reason is when I looked at the picture of him, it wasn't a photograph at that time. It was more like an etching or whatever they did in those days. But I looked at him and I thought, that's me. I recognized that at a gut level, at a soul level, I recognized that was me. I was Jacob Gruber. And I think maybe it was because I had to look at my face in the mirror every day because it was clean shaven. And we really do have a similarity in facial structure. And if you look in the book, I have photographs of him and photographs of me, of course. I also have photographs of Amanda Randall when she was young.
Mm-hmm. Well, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do so?
Okay, my website is www.mariegates.com.
Okay, do you want to give out any phone numbers, any more information?
Okay, thank
maybe
you.
The titles of your books again?
Okay, We Are Past Lives, Soul Patterns and Personalities and Relationships is my recent book. It is available through Amazon and also on Kindle. It also is available by request from bookstores. I have some local bookstores in the Detroit metropolitan area that carry it. Among them, the Mind's Eye in Mount Clemens, Crazy Wisdom in Ann Arbor, and Books Connection in Shelby Township on Van Dyke.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. Thank you very much for being a part of this program. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Right, I want to thank Marie Gates once again for being on this show. I also want to thank Lynn for producing this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Right now, I just would like to briefly announce that WHFR and Metaphysically Speaking will be having our 4th Annual Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair on Saturday, March 24th, 2012, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the Student and Culinary Arts Building on the campus of Henry Ford Community College. If you're interested in joining us for this fantastic festival as a vendor, reader, or body worker, please call us at 313-317-6540 or email us at holistic2010@peoplepc.com. Once again, the telephone number is 313-317-6540 or email us at holistic2010@peoplepc.com. We do look forward to having you join us at this year's event. Well, that's going to do it for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Be sure to come back next month in the new year. I can't believe that's happening already, but 2012 is almost here, and we'll be back with another edition of Metaphysically Speaking on the 17th of that month. Once again, I just want to say thank you for listening. Have a great day, everybody.
Clarence from the Play It By Ear Jazz Show, Saturdays from 2 until 4. I want to wish you blessings this holiday season and a joyous new year.
Well, he moved early. That's going to draw the yellow flag.
Offsides, number 72, 5 yards.
Check out this fan leaving the game. He's headed straight up the middle and right into a sobriety checkpoint. Let's see how he handles it.
No, officer, I haven't been drinking. I'm the designated driver.
Upon further review, this fan made the right call by being a designated driver.
Sign up to be the designated driver at the stadium and always buckle up. Provided as a public service by the station and Team Coalition.
2012. A new year can be a chance for change. New plans, new goals, perhaps to fulfill new dreams. At Henry Ford Community College, we can be your partner for all of this. We have over 110 academic degrees and certificates if you're just starting out. Or if you're career building or career changing, we have classes for that too. And life enrichment for the fun of it. Our winter semester begins on Monday, January 9th, and continues through April. For your most preferred classes at the best days and times, enroll now. Either online, anytime at hfcc.edu, or in person at our main campus, 5101 Evergreen Road, just south of Ford Road in Dearborn. If you'll be a new student, you must first go in person to the HFCC admissions office. Do that before December 23rd or after January 1st. Have a great 2012, and consider making HFCC part of your plans. Full information at www.hfcc.edu.
To be a good father is the most important job in a man's life, but it doesn't have to be hard. Play catch, go to a park or visit a zoo. Help your child with their homework. Sit down together for dinner. Ask them how their day was. Things get busy, and sometimes we all fall short, but the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Joe Dearborn
from Big Band Broadway and Beyond, wishing you and yours a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from the station Making Waves.
Eleanor Roosevelt said, "Better to light a candle than to curse the darkness." Tune into Impact, the fourth Tuesday of each month, and you'll meet people who are lighting the darkness through projects, events, and groups. That's Impact, 1 p.m. till 2 p.m., the fourth Tuesday of each month, right here on the station Making Waves, WHFR Dearborn, 89.3 FM.
This holiday season, WHFR would like to remind all of our listeners that our online store is ready to serve your gift-giving needs for that loyal listener on your list. Our online store is packed full of WHFR logo items that make great gifts. We have t-shirts, hats, sweatshirts, mugs, and so much more. Best of all, not only will you be showing your support for our station, but a percentage of every sale helps WHFR continue making waves. So log on and check out our online store today at www.whfr.fm and click the link Shop WHFR on the right of the page. Be sure to continue checking out our website and Facebook page for special discounts and holiday shipping times. And from all of us here at WHFR,